As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, Moonday, October the 18th. There's three sixes for you. 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always, we like to say good news. I don't know how much of this news is good this morning. Hard facts, that too. And workable solutions, as you can find them, where you can find them. If you can find one, let me know. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular. It remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion. Or you can pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost, like Become Vocal Local Host, @centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Once again, a big shout out, as we love to do each and every morning, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York. I'd like to have a hundred broadcasters on this list, to tell you the truth. Post them all up on the website. Everybody out there that's raising a stick, putting low power AM and FM all across America, I'd love to have 100 on this list. But we have several: 94.3 Elgin, Texas; 1610 AM Lompoc, California; and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you all. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals and foreign currencies dip following minor uptick in the U.S. dollar. We'll talk about that. Industrial production unexpectedly lower than analysts forecast. We'll go there as well. News writers noticeably quiet on the midterm elections, just 15 days away. What? Have they forgotten about the elections? I guess they have. The usurper's administration floundering as the rats flee the ship. Yeah, we'll go there as well. And we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast. Let's go into our market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago, found gold trading off $3.40 an ounce at $1,365.50 an ounce. Silver off 20 cents at $24.12 for a troy ounce of silver. Platinum, these are all bullion prices, by the way. Platinum off $6 at $1,684. And palladium off $9 at $579 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the London gold spot market this morning. The lows and the highs in the spot market this morning. We'll get to the London gold fix in a moment. The low was $1,352 even. The high, $1,367. So it's a pretty big spread built up in there, $15 or thereabouts. But at $1,365.50, your gold is up year to year $312.30 for a 29.66% return on your investment. You know that the market manipulators just don't want us to be reporting a 30% return on your investment in gold. And you can see all kind of hands in the market cramping down, pushing down, and propping up other things. But we'll pick it up on the other side. Stay tuned.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Monday, October the 18th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. If you're not in the chat room, you need to be in the chat room this morning, folks. Log on, bookmark, becomevocallocal.com. Jump into the chat room and join the discussion. It's just starting to heat up. Let's go back into our market report and close it out for this morning. Again, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In other words, at 8 o'clock my time, Central Time, every morning I have all of the various and sundry windows open and everything, and I take a snapshot of the market as we open the day, so that we can see what kind of madness and insanity and absurdity, as Mike Chambers likes to say, is going on in the market. This is the tick of the heartbeat of America and the global economy, the new economic order and the new global order and the new legal order. So we go through these things. Gold this morning off $3.40 an ounce at $1,365.50 an ounce. It's down from 1380 last Friday, thereabouts, so it's off by about $15 over the weekend. Will it rebound? Most likely. Is it okay if it's here? Yeah, it's great if it's here. If you haven't bought, buy the dips. That's what everybody else is doing. But in the meantime, understand also that if it traverses the charts right in here at the 1350 level for, let's say, a week to 10 days, those upward moves are going to have a real solid foundation of support in the investment community, and we could see 1400 not too far away. So just keep your eyes on it. Now we look at watch it go up, and we watch it go down. These $10-$15 swings shouldn't upset anybody, but just pay real close attention because the market is doing stuff, even if we're not aware of it. Silver this morning off 20 cents at $24.12. It's still above $24. Been there for a while now. looking at 25. It's possible. Platinum off $6 in early trading. You know, platinum, palladium, kind of industrial metals. Some people look at platinum as, you know, jewelry, but others don't. It's an industrial. Palladium, same thing. Okay, off $9 this morning at $579. It's been up right near 16 or 600. Platinum's been up right near 1700. So keep your eyes peeled on these commodities that are out there. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 1352 for a low, 1367 for a high, $15 spread. Nice and comfortable. Year to year, it's up $312.30 at 29.66% return on your investment in gold. Can't beat that with a stick, but you can beat it with silver, right? So just because we talk about gold a lot and people think about gold, don't forget silver. Silver is within your reach at $24 an ounce. It's going to cost you more than that to buy it today because you're going to have to pay premiums and shipping and insurance and all the rest of that. Or if you're buying it locally, you might be able to pick up at an auction or estate sale. See those coming up all the time around here in southwest Missouri. Lots of silver and gold being offered in the estate sales and in the auctions. Lots of gold, you know, hundreds of coins. Anyway, continuing, the SPDR gold shares, okay? This is the spider on the corner of the web. It's the State Street Global Advisors, the GLD. All right, it's one of these exchange-traded funds. They have the ability to wreak havoc on the market, and they can, you know, really drive the prices up and drive the prices down. Why? Well, they're holding 1,301.91 metric tons on their books. Whether they have it in physical or not is to be determined, but they're down over the weekend of 2.43 metric tons. In other words, they sold off. So we should expect to see the market pull back a little bit on that profit taking, and that's exactly what it is, taking the profits out. At $1,380, if you had electronic, you know, trading at your fingertips and you could buy and sell in a nanosecond, wouldn't you take profits, pick up 30 bucks wherever you can? Of course you would, especially if you're holding 1,301 metric tons. But that's valued on the street at these spot prices at $57.2 billion. $57.2 billion just about equals the agricultural output of America. The Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning down 31.79. It closed down 31.79 on Friday. The NASDAQ closed down 33.39 on Friday to 24.69. That Dow Jones closing on Friday was 11,063. And the S&P 500 down 2.38 at 1,176. That's Friday's closings, all right? Because it's the morning broadcast, I always look at yesterday's closing and give you that number. Other people will tell you where it goes and track it during the day. Crude oil this morning off 20 cents at $81.45 a barrel. The barrels are 42-gallon barrels, so you can do the math. You can take 81.45 and divide it by 42, and you know how much they're paying just for crude. So you can expect that as it goes through the cracking plants and comes out through the trucks and all that and delivered to your local gas station, why the prices are where they are. The crude oil prices, in my opinion, are way too high, overinflated. Some people think $80 crude is just right. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. As far as I'm concerned, it's too high, all right? We have plenty of oil here. We shouldn't have to be over the barrel with OPEC to try and get gasoline and diesel in our cars and trucks. The U.S. dollar index this morning, here's the big driver, apparently, up 33 basis points, which really just, you know, 0.33%. Right? It's not much. But it's up at 77.30, and of course the markets reacted to that. The foreign exchange rates, they're all down except the Swiss franc this morning. The Canadian loonie off 85 basis points as a result of this move upward in the U.S. dollar at 98 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 28 at 8 cents U.S. The multiplier there, if you're going into Mexico, is 12.4680 pesos per dollar. If you're going to Canada, it's 1.0236 Canadian loonies per dollar. The euro this morning off 42 basis points. Again, keep your eye on what's going on with the European Union. The euro, as the euro gets higher and higher and higher, it's less desirable to do purchases from them. Their products are not as desirable in the marketplace. They would like to have a weaker euro and a stronger U.S. dollar. That would boost their marketplace, but that's not the case. But the euro is at $1.39 this morning. The British pound off 53 basis points at $1.59. And the Swiss franc up 11, the only one in our little basket of currencies is our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement basket of European currencies that is up 11 basis points at $1.04 U.S. So the Swiss franc is valued on the market at more than the United States dollar. And that USDX indicator, if you want to find out more about that, you can find it on the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s website. This is their little trade-weighted basket of currencies. And so every time something burps with the USDX, it impacts the whole marketplace. You got to know, you know, you got to ask yourself the question, who is the Intercontinental Exchange and who cares? But why is their little trade-weighted basket of currency driving the whole show? That's my question on a daily basis. Especially to you, the bond market this morning, the two-year yield, these are the U.S. treasuries. This is bonded indebtedness. You always hear about the Fed buying the treasuries. Well, the two-year yield this morning is 0.36%. That ain't much. 0.36%. Far less than half of 1%. The 10-year is at 2.53%, and the 30 is at 3.95%. So if you're buying two-year bonds or 10-year bonds or 30-year bonds, your interest rate, your return on your investment is quite low. Other investments would be much more profitable over the long term, is the life of the bond. The mortgage rate this morning, a 15-year fixed mortgage, and again, we look at these fixed-rate mortgages as opposed to adjustable-rate mortgages. Yeah, the adjustable rate's what the banker is going to try and sell you. It's what your mortgage broker is going to try and sell you. It's what your realtor is going to try and sell you. But avoid the adjustable rate mortgages and get a fixed rate mortgage. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsor.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
My soul. Come, explore. Explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so just a final comment then on our market report for this morning. Got a little long-windy there, you know, as it sometimes happens, especially first thing in the morning on Monday. But, you know, I really enjoy putting together this little market report the way that I have. And I've got a couple of years now of these little legal pad, mini legal pad pages. This is what I use. I write it out every single day full of these things. And I can go back and check year to year and check this and cross-check that. And I don't know whether or not you all follow it. Or whether you don't, but you know, if we're not, then we're dependent upon the news that comes out. Now, for instance, on today's news basket, I'm going to go into the economic news in a moment. But today's news basket, I don't know how many of you have ever gone up and looked at the web page for Bloomberg, and I go there every day. But today, the news on Bloomberg is so scant that it's just unbelievable. All right. And the articles that they're covering, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. They're not talking about it. But under political news, all right, this is Bloomberg. This is New York City. We're 15 days away from the midterm elections, all right? 15 days away from the midterm elections. I know there's a media blackout in the last 30 days before the elections. But we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 total articles under the heading of more political news and political news, and over half of them have nothing to do with our politics at all. All right? Almost nothing whatsoever. No mention of the races, no coverage, you know, who's leading who and anything like that. Nothing at all interesting about the races. They lead off here with a story about Obama telling Ohio Democrats November's vote is a high-stakes election, blah, blah, blah. But nothing really about the process. You would never be able to guess by looking at this Monday morning news off of Bloomberg that we were just a scant 15 days away from our midterm elections and perhaps a rout in Congress, and if not in the Congress, in the Senate, and many of the state houses as well. But you'd never get a clue from that, looking at this. Now, let's go into the economic news basket. I'm going to go jump over to the Econoday website and look at this one. This is what came out early this morning, all right? This was what was driving the market for gold and silver down as the USDX went up, all right? What they were talking about was industrial production. Now, this is the consensus, you know, consensus building meetings. This is the consensus where they have their round table and it's like a bunch of Arabs in a sandstorm. Everybody sits around nodding and blinking, all right, and wiping their eyes. They come to a consensus. They dialogue themselves into a consensus. Well, the consensus for industrial production showed a range of 0.0% to 0.4%. So anywhere from nothing, no change, to up a 0.4%, almost, well, less than, but almost half of 1%, right? And this is how the words came out. Investors, look at this report. This is why I share it with you every morning. Investors, you know, we've got a lot of day traders out there. Investors look at these things, and they make buying and selling decisions based upon this. Industrial production in August. Now, listen, this is the market consensus before announcement. This is what early morning traders were looking at. Industrial production in August rose 0.2%, following a 0.6% jump in July. What does that indicate? An upward trend, all right? But it misses the boat because you're looking at 0.2%. Again, you've got a dollar, 100 pennies, and you increase it 2 pennies. If you found 2 pennies in the corner of your pocket or in the bottom of your closet, would you jump for joy? I don't think so, all right? But anyway, industrial production, this is the consensus, in August, rose 0.2% following a 0.6% jump in July. By components, manufacturing decelerated in the latest month, edging up 0.2% after a 0.7% in boost. Damping manufacturing was a monthly 5%, well, blah, blah, blah. And it continues. The good news, however, is that outside of autos, in other words, you take the automobile sector out of it, which is huge, and federally subsidized, manufacturing actually strengthened. All right? Excluding motor vehicles, manufacturing gained 0.5% in August, blah, blah, blah. Now, just move forward to the time when the report was formally released, all right? And what we get there is this. Let's see if I can jump forward. There it is, right there. This is how it actually reads. Industrial production. You know, and this is no longer the consensus now. This is the actual. It's off 0.2%. So they were looking for a 0.2% plus. They got a 0.2%, you know, loss, a decline. Now, here's the highlight. Industrial production was disappointing in September, declining 0.2%, following a 0.2% gain in August. Where was that 0.7% gain in August? What? You mean the information is not the same from one article to the next and the same very in the morning within an hour apart? No, it's not the same. The September decrease came in notably below analysts' median projection for a 0.2% advance. By major components, manufacturing dipped 0.2% after a 0.1 uptick in August. A 0.1 uptick. You got 100 pennies. I give you one. Are you excited? No, you're not. Assemblies of motor vehicle parts, however, provided some lift, okay? So we're building a couple alternators somewhere and rewinding generators. Rebounding 0.5% following a 6.3% drop in August. Excluding motor vehicles, manufacturing posted a 0.2% decline in September, following a 0.5% boost the prior month, blah, 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 blah. So it doesn't look too good. But if you go up on Bloomberg and look at their homepage, you're going to see an article there that talks all about how great, you know, production is in the United States. They wrote that article based on the earlier Econoday consensus report, and now they're going to have to either retract it or rewrite it. Well, so there's more along that line. China's Zhang says Obama's seeking votes with the clean energy subsidy case, all right? So he's using, you know, the environmental agenda to try and get people to jump on board with this failing Democratic Party platform. China's top energy official said the U.S. was playing electoral politics with an announcement that it will investigate a union complaint that the Chinese government gives unfair subsidies to its alternative energy industry. Does America want to get fair trade or a genuine dialogue or get transparent information? Question mark. Close quote. National Energy Administration Director Zhang Guobiao. Oh, God. This guy's the National Energy Administration. Asked at a Beijing press conference last night. I think not. It seems America's main reason is to get votes. All right? They don't want to get fair trade. They don't want a genuine dialogue. And they don't want to get transparent information. What America wants is to get votes, you see. This is a major trading partner. And China is in a position to be the primary purchaser and perhaps builder of all these alternative energy things, the windmills and the solar, you know, Don Quixote's windmills and the solar panels. The U.S. acted on a complaint from the United Steelworkers Union that China's aid to clean energy producers violates global trade rules, accepting that the petition may lead the U.S. to file a protest at the World Trade Organization. The complaint, called a Section 301 filing, is the first filed and accepted by President, well, the Barry the Usurper's administration after his predecessor, Jorge Bush, turned down trade complaints against China. Well, there's more to that article. Let's go over here and listen to Benjamin Shalom. I love Bernanke. Yeah, right. Bernanke ponders crapshoot as Fed seeks to support prices. Again, there's no news this morning. There's no news. It's a bunch of fluff and stuff and nonsense. There's nothing happening in the United States of America, apparently. We rolled up the sidewalk somewhere last month, and we haven't unrolled it yet. Bloomberg is focusing on international news as we move further and further into the new global economic order. What's up with that? We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so back again into the news basket. Bernanke ponders a crapshoot as the Fed seek to support prices. And I said earlier, there really is just no news out there today, at least not on Bloomberg. I went up on the New York Times, you know, I call it the New York slime, went over to the Washington Postal, went to the Washington Times. No news today. Anyway, Scott Lanneman writing October the 14th, several days old here, this article. Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke once advocated setting an inflation target to keep prices from rising too flat fast. Now he may get the Fed to adopt a target to keep the inflation rate from falling. A four-day-old article, headline news on Bloomberg this morning. Here's another one. This is Whitney McFerrin and Jeff Wilson and Shruti Deitching. New news, October the 18th, Bloomberg. Crop surges drive U.S. export boom as the usurper channels Kansas corn. I think I've heard just about everything now. Barry the usurper is channeling corn, for goodness sakes. I wonder what it's going to tell him. Pop? I don't know. Maybe he's got his Ouija board out. Maybe they'll tell him something. Maybe the corn will give him some advice. Maybe he'll come out and be real corny for a change. I don't know. Record U.S. agricultural exports are providing an unexpected boost to bury the usurper's target of doubling overseas sales by 2015. Well, if he's looking to see doubling of overseas sales, you don't look in the agricultural sector, Barry. It's a tiny pittance. Overall, and we're going to find out about that. The 68% gain in corn prices from June lows and as much as doubling in wheat are leading a jump in U.S. farm revenue that J.P. Morgan Chase & Company expects will increase demand for Deere & Company's tractors and Mosaic Company's fertilizer. I've told you in the past that most of these Bloomberg articles have the appearance of IPO offerings, that they're promoting stock shares. We're sustaining the environmental and developmental concerns here, all right? We transition in the sentence from corn prices and wheat prices to selling John Deere tractors and Mosaic fertilizer. Farm exports from the U.S., the world's largest grain shipper, may top the 2008 record of $115.3 billion. They gave more than that to the banks in 2011, said Joe Glauber, chief economist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. While agriculture accounts for just 1%, just 1%, and this is making headline news on Bloomberg, just 1% of the $14.3 trillion U.S. economy, the actual impact of surging prices may be 10 times more once spending on equipment, seeds, grain handling, and food making are added. Of course, they deposit that money in the bank. The banks, through the miracle of fractional reserve banking, increase it tenfold and loan it into existence. And the article has truth in it, but it doesn't tell what the true story is. The boom may continue through 2011. Boom. With wheat predicted to average $7.28 a bushel and corn $5.83. How do they know that? They can't even tell from month to month what the production in this country is going to be. And they're making analyst projections on what stock prices are going to be a year from now. As much as 98% above the 10-year average. Well, if they're as much as 98% above the 10-year average, you can take a number like that and flush it down your toilet. A Bloomberg News survey of 7 U.S. analysts showed, they don't name the analysts so that we can come back and laugh at them later, it's going to be the best year American farmers have had in 2.5 decades. That's 25 years is what he's saying, said Dennis Gartman, an economist and editor of the Gartman Letter in Suffolk, Virginia. Insider. Quote, I wonder if he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Quote, the next big winners are obviously the fertilizer companies and the farm equipment manufacturers. Right? The winner no one seems to be talking about is small banks in the Midwest. It continues, talks about farm machinery, sales of this, sales of that, reinvesting wealth. Farmers historically are pretty savvy in what they do. So they would reinvest a lot of their increased wealth potentially into new tractors and new equipment, said Rolf Obenscheit, a co-fund manager of agribusiness strategy at New York-based Global Thematic Partners, LLC, which invests $3.5 billion in food-related equities. The speculators. What would happen if the farmers are even more historically intelligent and they buy gold and silver coin with it and bury it in a pasture someplace? Deere's per share profit will more than double to $4.25 in the current fiscal year. How do they know that? From $2.06, mark it on your tote bar, go back and check later. According to the mean estimate of 8 analysts surveyed by Bloomberg, at AGCO, earnings may jump $1.95 a share. See what they're doing here? They're selling shares. This is not a news article. This is an advertisement. Enough of that. Let's go on from there. Go here instead. This out of the Guardian.co.uk. Pulled it off of Wayne Madsen's website. Got a link to this. White House staff exodus exposes Obama to charges of disarray. This is a little older article, Sunday the 10th of October, 8 days ago. More senior staff, including Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Senior Advisor David Axelrod, leaving their posts. All right? The Obama administration, the White House, is in disarray. In disarray. All the rats are fleeing the pirate ship as they go into this election. Who's gonna come out on the other side? Are they going to point to Obama and say that, hey, this guy is a mentally deranged individual. This guy is under so much pressure that he can't move forward. Are they going to look into the Constitution and exercise a replacement clause? Is Biden going to move forward on that? Will he get the support in the Congress and the Senate? Will he get the support from a Tea Party majority in the Congress to replace Obama with Biden? Big questions out here. More senior White House staff are to leave in the next few months, adding to the high exit rate from Barry the Usurper's administration. Political analysts attribute the attrition rate to exhaustion, but Republican opponents blame disarray inside the White House with an insular team responsible for too many political policy failures. The imminent departures include those of Defense Secretary Gates, blah, blah, blah. We've heard all this. Gibbs is going, everybody's going. All right? So there's a lot in that. Another article up. they still have to put this out. But this, it's just like the BP oil, you know, catastrophe in the Gulf. They keep playing this down and playing this down and playing it down, trying to make it seem less and less important. Banks face mortgage scrutiny as $49 billion in value vanishes. Dakin Campbell writing alone for Bloomberg yesterday, Sunday article, October the 17th. Citigroup, Inc., Bank of America Corp., and Wells Fargo and Company set to report earnings this week. Face investors groping for answers after evidence of flawed foreclosure documents triggered off a sell-off of U.S. bank stocks. Facing investors groping for answers. People want to know. Evidence of flawed foreclosure documents. The banks, plus J.P. Morgan Chase and Company, saw $49.3 billion in market value shaved off in 3 days, ending on October the 15th. All right, so we talk about $115 billion, the big plus for agriculture. J.P. Morgan Chase sees $49.3 billion shaved off their market value in 3 days, ending October the 15th. Amid concern that rising costs of faulty foreclosures will eat into profits, J.P. Morgan set aside $2.3 billion of reserves to cover the mortgage repurchases or litigation expenses, including some for mortgage-related matters, the lender said on October the 13th. See, that didn't help them, did it? They set aside $2.3 billion of reserves. The investors pulled $49.3 billion of support. Here's a quote. We've had two banks report good earnings in terms of credit quality costs coming down, said Eric Oja, an equity analyst at Standard & Poor's. They don't mention the two banks. Referring to J.P. Morgan and First Horizon National. All right. So I misspoke there. He did say it. But here's a quote, but people don't care. They say, well, how many foreclosures do you have in the pipeline? And what are you seeing, close quote. And they answer that we're looking at each one. And people say, all right, sell. All right? All right, sell. People are selling out. They're selling out these treasonous, traitorous, treacherous sewers in New York City. They're dumping their bank shares. An investigation by attorneys general in all 50 states into foreclosure practices that fueled speculation that banks will have to purchase billions of dollars in loans from mortgage bond investors who will challenge the paperwork. They'll have to purchase billions of dollars in loans back. Lenders have suspended foreclosure in some states and started reviews after court documents surfaced. Again, this is the Bloomberg spin. Mike Chambers Live has got links on his website, MikeChambersLive.com. All kinds of links to much more penetrating analysis from Ellen Brown and others. But this is what's coming out to the mainstream. All right. Oja cut his recommendation on Charlotte, North Carolina-based Bank of America, quote, to hold, all right, from strong buy. All right. This is stockbroker talk. From a hold to a strong buy on October the 15th because of uncertainty about mortgage costs. Diamonds blip. Demon's blip. J.P. Morgan Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon, 54 years old, faced analyst questions about foreclosures on the company's third quarter conference call on October the 13th, 5 days ago. Dimon said the New York-based lender probably will pay, quote, an incremental sum, close quote, to review and fix foreclosure documents. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Much more to come.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny-smashing, cutting-edge talk radio.
So you see they're not going to be able to sweep all of these foreclosures under the rug. They're going to have to keep mentioning it, but they're trying to play it down and play it down and play it down. The four banks, let's see, the four banks control more than 55% of the market for billing and collections on U.S. home loans, according to Barclays Capital. When borrowers default, the firms handle the foreclosure process. Wells Fargo, which said it's proceeding with foreclosures, may have litigation or repurchase expenses of $15 billion over the next 4 years. They might have just a whole lot more than $15 billion. Litigation expenses are going to be high, Pelini said in a phone interview. Foreclosures are a messy process and one that will provide a headwind to earnings, but it doesn't mean this recovery is postponed. It just means it happens at a slower pace. They're linking this to the recovery already. Barbara DeSoar, 57, head of the home lending at Bank of America, said on October the 15th that estimates of added costs from foreclosures have been grossly distorted. The bank, the largest in the U.S. by assets, stands by the accuracy of its process, she said in an interview. Bank of America dropped $1.54 or 11.4% in the 3 days ended October 15th. In other words, their stocks are going in the toilet. While Citigroup fell 29 cents or 6.8%, the biggest three-day drop for the stocks since July. Wells Fargo declined $2.39 or 9.2%. The largest such fall-off since May, J.P. Morgan fell $3.25 or 8% over the same 3 days. The worst such period since the 3 days ended in January the 22nd. The market value of the 24 lenders in the KBW Bank Index fell by a combined $58.5 billion in 3 days, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Quote, people are trying to sort out who's going to bear the cost, said James Barth, a professor of finance at Auburn University in Alabama and senior finance fellow at the Milken Institute in Santa Monica, California. Quote, someone has to pay for this, and that's going to be the lenders. Well, there's that article. This went off the off the chat room. Always appreciate seeing the news dropped into the chat room. When all else fails, wheel out Osama bin Laden. All right? Here's an article. I don't know about this article. I just take it for what it's worth. The NewYorkDailyNews.com, the Daily News, an exclusive. Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda terrorist leader, is hunted in Pakistan by the CIA. And he said, when all else fails, just wheel out, you know, the Osama demon. Out of Washington, CIA hunted for Osama bin Laden in a remote section of northwestern Pakistan in recent years based on at least two sightings. People have been searching all around in the forest up in Washington State for Bigfoot, too. They ain't found him either. But I guess we could just rank Osama bin Laden on the same level as Bigfoot. Every time somebody has a sighting, we'll post it in the news. That's what's done here. One of the sightings was a grainy photo of bin Laden inside a truck traveling in the Northwest Frontier Province. You know, we see those kind of things all the time. You know, Bigfoot traveling in the back of a truck. The people in the truck don't even know he's there, but he's hitching a ride in the back of somebody's truck. But the photo was rather grainy. Yeah? The source, who had access to all the reporting on bin Laden, responded to a series of March 2009 reports in the news that pinpointed where the CIA's tribal operations unit had hunted for al-Qaeda's founder. The intelligence was obtained years ago and wasn't fresh enough to find and kill bin Laden, who was first marked for death in 1995, the source added. Well, that's the kind of insanity that's out there. The excuse for news that we have to deal with on a regular basis. You know, sightings on Osama bin Laden. Oh, my goodness. Let's go into a little bit more here. There's very little news. I'm about ready to dump the news basket. In fact, let's just do that. Very little news to talk about this morning. I started in on this reading out of Tragedy and Hope. We're talking about the Book of Enoch. And before that, you know, other topics along the same line. We're looking at this idea, the fatalism, you know, of the Oriental despotisms that came out of the Near and Middle East so many thousands of years ago. But there's a real problem when we start going away from certain things, because our society, our customs, our tongues, our tribes, our creeds, and our traditions have been based upon them for so long that they've almost been imprinted in our psyche. And one of these things is looking into the future. You know, there's a better day coming, by and by, Lord, by and by. Well, you know the song. You've heard it in church, perhaps, if you go. But this idea of looking forward to the future, you know, it's a Christian tenet. It's a fundamental. It's one of the reasons why the Dark Ages came to be. When Christianity started making its move into Europe and spreading to the West, this future look transformed the way people reacted and acted in their lives. Instead of taking care of today's business today, they were always looking for the future. And it was very handy to teach people to do that, because people get with this fatalistic attitude, they're not paying attention to what's happening. And so their day-to-day lives can become more and more and more of a drudgery. You know, you can just see all of the Negroes in the fields, you know, hauling their bags of cotton, you know, and they're all singing hymns. They're looking for that better, you know, they're looking for that mansion in the sky, and the streets will all be paved with gold, you know, and there's, you know, in my father's heaven or on the mountain there's going to be a mansion for all of us. Yeah, brother, it's going to be nice, but today's a piece of crap, all right? And so we're always looking to the future. Well, Carroll Quigley's aware of this sort of stuff, and he writes about it in his book, Tragedy and Hope, on page 1251, and I'm just going to dive in here. And start about a paragraph ahead where we could go. Well, actually, no, I'll just start right here. The literary assault on the bourgeois outlook was directed at all of the aspects of it that we have mentioned, at future preference. Future preference. So that's just kind of a key to what we're talking about here for a few minutes. Future preference. At self-discipline. At the emphasis on materialistic acquisition. And at status symbols. Go all the way back to Warden June Cleaver's America, 1950s, and come forward. And you look at this idea of the future preference. You know, you've got your Social Security. You've got your pension that you're setting aside for and things like that. You're saving up money for your children's education, as one aunt. college education and so on, they have a future preference. They're always looking into the future. They're looking at their little ones growing up and thinking about someday in the future when they're going to be surrounded, you know, in their deathbed by all their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And it's self-discipline. You know, it's denying yourself. Denying yourself that treat or that treasure today to put off to the future the things you could enjoy today. But as I like to say, you never put off until tomorrow what you can do today, because if you do it today and like it, you may very well be able to do it again tomorrow. But it's just a different point of view. It's self-discipline. At the emphasis on materialistic acquisition, you know, through Edward Bernays' school of, you know, of public marketing, public relations, the idea of buy, your shoppers, your consumers. Don't worry about 9/11. Go to the mall. Buy something. Materialistic acquisition. These are the tenets that our society here in the United States has been built upon for a long time. And it's status symbols. At status symbols, well, we drive a Packard. We have an Airstream trailer. We have a Grumman, you know, canoe or something. Status symbols. You know, diamond rings. Worthless carbon chunks, but diamond rings and things like that. Status symbols. That trophy wife, you know. Dressed to the nines, ready to kill. Continuing, the attack on future preference appeared as a demonstration that the future is never reached. Again, we think about living. We very carefully research the past. We find out where we've been, not just individually, but as people, over not just the last decade or two, but over all of the last 100 years and the 100 years before that and before that and before that. We very carefully research the history to find clues and patterns and trends. And then we visualize the future. And as I like to say, a future of greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. Right? So this attack on future preference appeared as a demonstration that the future is never reached. Where are we? At any one time. I've shared this example before. It's like a diver running out to the end of a diving board. You leap up in the air and you come down and you hit the board just like you've practiced 1,000 times. The weight of your body pushes the board all the way down as far as it can, and then it rebounds. And as it's coming up, you're crouching, you're getting ready to go into your dive. And the moment that your toes come off that diving board, with all of the momentum of the past and all of your energy released right there, that's our life. We live at that point. Our toe is just coming off the diving board, always falling forward into the future. And so when you take away the future preference, when you take away the future look, it becomes a total chaos. You've run out there, you've jumped up, you've dumped on the end of the board, now you're up in the air. Now what the heck are you going to do? A cannonball? Swan dive? You know, going in feet first, how are you going to go? Well, you better have a plan in advance. That's future preference. It's been under attack for a long time. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc. Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, October the 18th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. I'd like to say kicking off the shoreline and heading out for our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. Certainly glad you've joined us. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, of course, my name is William Roberts. It'll still be William Roberts again tomorrow. We've got all kinds of news, hard facts. In the first hour, went into the news and found that we don't have much news. Most of it's a bunch of PR stuff, trying to sell stocks and bonds and interests and other things on the Bloomberg website this morning. And why shouldn't they? That's their business. You know, it's the new economic order. Profit, good. Loss, bad. So after we went through that, turned our attention a little bit to tragedy and hope. Carol Quigley, you know, they claim the Bill Clinton's mentor. A lot of claims have been made about Carol Quigley, but you can hardly take it away from him that he was a very good writer and an excellent researcher, whether he's the Jesuit-trained professor or not. And we're looking at a section here towards the end of his book, very lengthy book. I haven't read it all. I'd be deceiving you if I said that I had. I've sped read most of it, but I haven't read it all, and I haven't read it in depth. But certain sections of it really intrigue me, and I did spend time on it. This is one of them. And it has to do with the future in perspective. Again, 1250 and Tragedy and Hope. Continuing. And we're talking about this idea of future preference and how important it is. The attack on future preference appeared as a demonstration that the future is never reached. We never get to the future. We always live in the present. Anybody tells you live in the future is deceiving you. You live in the present. You're always in the present. You're moving forward into the future. You can put your rearview mirrors on and look into the past, but you're always in the present, moving forward into the future. As I like to say, falling forward into the future, because we really don't know what the future holds in store. It's like dropping into a well. You don't know how deep it is, how many times you're going to hit the sides before you finally hit the bottom. If you hit the bottom, and if you hit the bottom, will it be wet or dry? Continuing, its argument was that the individual who constantly postpones living from the present with living taken to mean real personal relationships with individuals to a hypothetical future, eventually finds that the years have gone by, death is approaching, he has not yet lived, and is in most cases no longer able to do so. To say it in a crude way, you've just pissed your life away, counting on moonbeams and false promises. Here's some moonbeams and false promises. Listen carefully. What is sustainable development? This is the definition. The 1987 United Nations World Commission. This is the Brundtland Report, Our Common Future. Here's the quote. Development, what is sustainable development? Development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. You see, emphasis here. The future is never reached. The individual who constantly postpones living from the present to a hypothetical future eventually finds that the years have gone by. Their death is approaching. He's not yet lived and is, in most cases, no longer able to do so. You keep following the sustainable development model, right? Where we put off development in today, we put off, you know, new infrastructure development in the United States today because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of using resources that the future generations might need, you know? Amazing. Amazing stuff. But it's a philosophy. And I was reading in our Constitution, here in the state of Missouri, there's a prohibition against using education to promote religions, and yet they promote the new green religion, Gaia worship, Mother Earth, and all of that on a regular basis. This new scientific socialism, scientific materialism, a new dialectic. But it's a religion. It's a belief system. They have faith in sustainable development. We'll be right back.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned visiting with our listeners in the chat room. We've got Brian on the line here from Arizona. Let's go to Brian and see if he's got something good to add to the broadcast this morning and go live right there. There we go. Good morning, Brian.
I see probably a lot to add, but I don't know how much of it's going to be on point due to the fact that there's not a listener line, so I can kind of tune in a little while and be on point.
That's one of the things that we really do miss, Brian, and I hope that we can get it back again, because I know for you, when you're out and about doing your business during the daytime, it's nice to be able to listen in, and that's why typically I realize that you're doing that. But go ahead, bring us, what's the latest update in Arizona land?
Well, I don't know so much about the updates in Arizona other than I listened more and more to another broadcast that talked about possibly Hillary Clinton taking over some Joe Biden's position and maybe running for president. That's the scariest thing I've heard in a long time.
Well, I don't know whether you listened or caught Wayne Madsen's report over the weekend, and I'm not even positive. I tuned in late to it as well. I'm not even positive that it wasn't a repeat, but he was going into the Osama bin Laden, Barry the Usurper's administration, the cabinet, all the trouble that's in there, the trouble with the infighting between him and Michelle. He feels most comfortable when he's out stumping for the votes. He is kind of a do-nothing fellow. He doesn't get much accomplished. He doesn't have a good work ethic. The people in the White House are not enjoying working with him at all. They're putting a lot of pressure on him. He's succumbing maybe to some mental anguish. They're thinking about trying to run the constitutional gambit to get him out as an unfit man and then replace him with Biden. So there's a lot going on. I dropped in the chat earlier, Brian, a question, who are we going to see, in the 2012 election? Are we going to see Biden running as the Democratic candidate or Hillary?
Well, I tell you, if it is Hillary, years ago I worked with a guy in the oil business, and one of his best friends actually went to the same school, college that she went to, and he told this partner of mine, she is the most manipulative woman I have ever met in my entire life. And this was way back when. You can only imagine what this woman gets like with a little bit of power. And if she could be the Antichrist.
Well, whatever she is, she definitely was bad news for Bill. And Bill and Hillary was kind of a marriage of convenience. That's pretty well, the on-the-street scuttlebutt and has been for years. But, as a presidential candidate, she really would be a game changer because she's on board with too many things that none of us really anticipate. And she's been a long-time Marxist and a flag burner. I mean, the woman is just poison to this country. And that she's even, and then again, let's look at it from a pragmatic standpoint. Who's the more powerful? The Secretary of State, who is capable of going around and negotiating treaties that become the supreme law of the land, or a president that has limited support in the House?
Well, I tell you, think about this for a minute. Let me interject this. What if Sarah Palin switched over to the other side and it was president and vice president? It was Clinton and Palin. We could have a Bush eater and a Bush pilot all at the same time in the White House.
Well, that would really be something else. Well, I'm not going to touch that one. I'll just say that I didn't understand what you said. Well, you keep listening, Brian. I'm not going to bug you. You're welcome to hang on the line right there. I'm going to put you back on. I'll put you back on mute. All right. So that's Brian in Arizona listening on his telephone. And so, that's something that you can do. And folks, if you'd like to call in, you can interrupt me today if you like, 866-841-1065. I'm just looking at Carol Quigley. I'm looking at the future in perspective. I'm looking at the importance of having a forward view. But at the same time, not to put off doing things that we need to do today. I mean, for goodness sakes, I've been on the radio now for 2 years. Try to encourage people to become vocal, local, get locally active in your local voting precinct. Last evening I heard a radio broadcast, and here comes Jim Conant Jr. right on time, wag the dog. And he's been talking the same line way back when Mike Chambers was still doing the Midnight Rider broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. One evening, he was kind of feeling a little bit down slow. I called in and just in a 30-minute segment laid out my basic strategy for becoming vocal local and taking all the action right back to the local voting precincts with the eye of eliminating the established two-party political system. Of all the people that I've discussed this with, even here locally, people that I know, Mike got it. He got it in a 30-minute segment on a telephone call. He got it. He invited me to come back as a guest, and I suggested to him that he invite Jim Conant Jr. because of all the websites that I'd been around and looked at over the years, Jim's was the only one that came close to saying exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm glad that Jim came to it, and I'm absolutely convinced that we came to it from two different directions, because I never knew that he was onto it until I'd heard him on another broadcast, okay? But this is so very important to understand. This is the place where we can actually be effective. I can't think of any place else that where we can be effective. We're not going to be effective in Congress. It can't happen. We don't have the clout. We don't have the lobbyists. We don't have the money. We don't have the time. And so the place that we can be effective is to be like the Lilliputians, cutting off Gulliver at his ankles at the local voting precinct level. Because at the local voting precinct level, we can so drastically and dramatically change not only our county committees for both the Republican and the Democratic parties, but we can also then change the state committees. I heard somebody call in on a broadcast over the weekend lamenting that there was no possible way that we could become electors, that we would never be able to get involved with the Electoral College. Even if we had gone in and embedded in the political parties as a precinct captain somewhere. No, you can't. Why? Well, because the parties select from their party faithfuls and from their party loyals who will be in the Electoral College. This isn't something that the Pope of Rome, well, he might, decides. You know, this isn't something that is decided anyplace else. It's decided inside the Republican, from the Republican National Committee down. But everybody looks locally in their counties, and they find electors that will cast their ballot for the state Electoral College count. Okay? This is what I've seen firsthand, know something about. So anyway, back to the discussion here again. From the practical, the real, the things that we can be doing, to the things that Quigley's written about in the past. It continues, the more recent form of this attack on future preference has appeared in the existentialist novel and the theater of the observed. All right? Do we all understand what Dadaism is? The theater of the absurd? Waiting for Godot, the play? Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I can't even believe, but I've been invited to be, you know, an actor in a drama, you know, once in my life. And I had no, you know, I was not a thespian. What do they call it, a thespian? And no experience at all. But I just looked the part, I guess, and somebody recommended me, and I was invited out of the blue to audition for a part in a play, you know, stage play. And I went down. I thought, what a spoof this is. And I did a reading for them, and they selected me. I was overwhelmed. I had to say, no, thank you. I couldn't do this. I can read, that's all. Anyway, we'll be back.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So just a little tidbit of the past, thinking about Dadaism, thinking about the theater of the absurd, this idea that you could just come in off the street and sit up on a stage on a bar stool and be handed a script and have it marked in various places, and you just read, you know, with whatever passion you can read into it. I'd only looked at it briefly in the wings before I went up there and did my reading, and then to have the casting director select you, you know, and no prior experience at all. And be willing to try and work with you to do it. Why? Well, because I looked right and I sounded right for that particular part, and they really wanted to have me in their play. Dadaism, the theater of the absurd. We are ruled today by, you know, adolescents, insane children, you know, and adolescents running the house. Dadaism, the theater of the absurd. Existentialism, Quigley continues, by its belief that reality and life consist only of the specific, concrete, personal experience of a given place and moment, ignores the context of each event, and thus isolates it. I remember when my mother first read Jean-Paul Sartre in his book on existentialism, which I had read on myself long before I got out of high school, and started to get this idea of what is this existentialism and the gestalt of Fritz Perls in and out of the garbage pail. Had a chance of visiting with Michael Vail yesterday on his broadcast, Vantage Point. He and I got into some interesting discussion for 2 hours. It was a lot of fun. We're talking about behaviorism, but existentialism is part of that discussion as well. This idea that reality and life consists of only the specific, concrete, personal experience of a given place and moment, ignoring the context of each event, and thus isolates it. We need to think about things in the geopolitical view, the vantage point, as Mike Vail says. But an event without context has no cause. When we study history, we very carefully research our history. I like to put myself into that place. Not just read about Auguste Comte, you know, 1850s philosopher of France, but then go in and look at the costumes and the architecture of the time period and read about the day-to-days, and read about the political events that were going on in his lifetime, so you can get a better understanding of what he was writing about when he came out against the mere destructives. The mere destructives. When he would come out and say, everything is relative, and that is the only absolute. Everything is just relative, man. It's just another day, man. Just another day, man. But an event without context has no cause, no meaning, no consequence. It is absurd, as anything is which has no relationship to any context. And such an event, with neither past nor future can have no connection with tradition or with future preference. And so we read the news on a daily basis, and they're just these isolated events as if they were happening in vacuo, in a vacuum. This point of view came to saturate 20th century literature so that the original rejection of future preference was expanded into total rejection of time, which was portrayed as simply a mechanism for enslaving man and depriving him of the opportunity to experience life. Time. Time, man. What's time all about? And we read about Carol Quigley. We hear about Carol Quigley. Always we hear about tragedy and hope. But you know, he's written other things. Got a copy here, his The Evolution of Civilizations by Carol Quigley, An Introduction to Historical Analysis. Very interesting book. But he speaks to time, space and time as an irrationality. I'll just give you a little bit of a beginning. We've already mentioned our belief that civilization is an object that can be studied in a scientific way. Right? This is the positivist mind view. Mindset. Studied in a scientific way that we can actually take man and put him in a petri dish and slide him under the microscope and make him the object of study. We're studying civilization as an object that can be studied in a scientific way. Just as a quartz crystal can be studied, Quigley writes, in such a study we must, like the student of the crystals, examine in a comparative way a large number of examples, even ideally all the examples available. And many people before Carol Quigley, including Auguste Comte, have gone back and they've studied time and the history of time. They've built timelines and they looked at the history of civilizations. How many months do we spend on that with Edward McDowell Burns in the beginning of this broadcast here on Oracle Broadcasting, where we looked into the history of civilizations piece by piece by piece? Not exhaustively, but a wide, panoramic view. Again, as Michael Vale says on his broadcast, furthermore, a civilization is complicated in the first place because it's dynamic. All right, again, this is positivism. It's not static. It's dynamic. It is constantly changing in the passage of time until it has perished. Are we perishing now? Perhaps. Furthermore, a civilization is part of the social sciences. You get into the social sciences, and now we've invoked Auguste Comte and sociology once again. That is, it contains subjective elements, subjective as opposed to objective. Speculations, opinions, subjective, opinions are like elbows, typically born with more than one, and they're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. Furthermore, a civilization is a part of the social sciences, that is, it contains subjective elements, and these are usually the most important elements in the culture. Culture, tongues, tribes, and creeds, and traditions, this is what develops a civilization, this is what makes a nation and a people. Accordingly, in a civilization, unlike a crystal, what people think or feel can influence what exists. How do you feel this morning? What do you think about that? Changing the object completely in the process. What people think or feel can influence what exists. Of course, we visit with Albert Ben Dicey in his book, Public Opinion and Crosscurrents of Public Opinion, How They Affect Law and Legislation, written back in the early 1900s. In the third place, many aspects of a civilization are continua, existing in such a subtle graduation and in such varied degrees of abstractness that the divisions we make in it, in the course of our analysis, and the words we use as symbols, notice logical positivism, and the words we use as symbols to refer to our analytical divisions reflect only very roughly the situation that exists in reality itself. All three of these difficulties are important, but the third, which is frequently ignored in discussions of these matters, requires a little more examination, and for that reason, at least. Much, if not all, of the physical world consists of a continua. This is to say, is equivalent to saying that much of the physical world is irrational. It exists and it operates, but it does these things in ways that cannot be grasped by our conscious, rational, mental process. This can be seen most easily if we consider first a few examples of continua in the physical world. Now, I'm going to stop right there quickly on that part to say this. That time is largely an illusion, A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N, not an illusion, an illusion. Time is largely an illusion. And in order to have any comprehension for time to have any meaning whatsoever, years ago, this is my postulate, my hypothesis. Three conditions need to be present. Number one, time must have a beginning and an end. If it doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end, it's not time. It's either eternity. Well, it's eternity. It's a loop. But we'll just pass on it. It has to have a beginning and an end. There must be an end point, and there must be a beginning point, or the idea of time just falls away. Right? And then it must have a unit of measure. It doesn't matter what the unit of measure is. Right? There must be a unit of measure. It's totally arbitrary. It could be revolutions of the earth upon its axis, revolutions of the earth around the sun, revolutions of the moon around the earth, whatever. It's totally arbitrary. Be right back. Stay tuned.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the members' stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So again, we can think about time and with these three primary criteria, and I'll quickly get back to the Carol Quigley. But again, there needs to be a beginning and an end. I was thinking of either infinity and eternity. I think infinity was the word I wanted to use. Infinity and eternity. Think of it from your math studies. You've got a number line, all right? There's a zero in the middle, all right? And then they say plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the right, minus 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on the left. And infinity is a ray. Pick a point at plus 1, and you draw a circle on that. And then you draw an arrow, a line with an arrow point, going off into the plus numbers. That's infinity. It's an infinitely larger number, all right? To think of it, time as an infinity is something that's time without end. As an eternity, excuse me, thinking of time as an eternity, time without end, in either direction, backwards or forwards, all right, from the calendar standpoint. Infinity is like the Mobius strip. It eventually, time warps back around and closes in on itself, and it just becomes a loop. Two different points of view. But time as an illusion, then, needs to have a point of beginning and a point of ending. If not, there's no time. It's just either an infinity, an infinite amount, or an eternity, one direction or the other. Second, there needs to be a unit of measure. And as I said, it doesn't matter whether it's the Earth is revolving on its axis, whether it's moving around the sun, or whether it's traveling through the solar system. There needs to be a unit of measure. In order for that unit of measure to exist, and in order for there to be a point of beginning and a point of ending, really, there needs, thirdly, to be an observer. The observer is arbitrary as well. The observer can change. One of the troubles that we've had in the past is that the observers have changed and that their unit of measure has been lost, and so we don't have any accurate understanding of how much time precedes where we are today in the meaning of time from the standpoint of man, whether we measure it in revolutions of the Earth around its axis or around the sun. But the whole concept of time is a bit of an illusion. At least that's my hypothesis. Back to Carol Quigley. He asked, how many colors are there in a rainbow? Some answer 3, red, yellow, and blue. Others answer 6, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. When I was a child in school, for some unknown reason, we were told that there were 7 colors, the teacher insisting that indigo, between blue and violet, was a color. The proper answer, of course, is that the number of colors in the rainbow is infinite. Infinity. They're not without number. Time without end, in both directions. It's a loop. This, in itself, is something we cannot grasp in any rational way. The mind of man cannot wrap his mind around an infinity. But let us consider what it means. In the first place, it means that there is, in the rainbow, no real line of division between any two colors. If we wish to draw a line, we may do so, but we must recognize that such a line is imaginary. It may exist in our minds, but it does not exist in the rainbow itself. And so from that, then, we look back at this idea of future preference. Where is time in all of this? We're looking into the future, and we discover, to our own dismay, that as an individual constantly never reaching the future, we live, you know, in this kind of a hypothetical future, eventually finding that our years have gone by, death is approaching, we have not yet lived, and in most cases no longer able to do so. What are we trained to do from birth? We're to work and 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 work. And this morning on the news, there was a trucker's strike in France, complaining about shoving up the retirement age from 60 to 62. But we're asked to work and work and work and work and work and work until we retire and look forward to the age 65 as a point of beginning. That begins your golden years, right? Well, the insurance actuarials have played all over this. They know that few people reach the age of 65. There once was a time long ago in the feudalism of history, antiquity, where someone that lived to be 50 years old was an old critter. Old and old indeed. Why? Well, it's because life was short, brutish, and hard. It wasn't until we started getting all the lap of luxury conveniences that we enjoy in the United States of America and other places in the developed world that our life extension, our ability to live years, you know, greater and greater number of years, really started to come to view. But we put off everything that would be good to do today until you're 65 years of age. Can you actually enjoy it? At 65, are you going to enjoy doing mountain climbing or trying your hand at rock climbing or becoming, you know, a concert pianist or whatever? A little bit late to start, don't you think? Anyway, back to Quigley here, dropping down a bit further. This point of view came to saturate 20th century literature, and this is existentialism, so that the rejection of future preference was expanded into a total rejection of time. okay, and we talked about time as an illusion, depriving him of the opportunity to experience life. We're letting someone else hand us our units of measure and our points of beginning and our points of end. The writings of Thomas Wolfe and on to a higher level, that of the early Dos Passos, were devoted to this theme. The bourgeois time clock became a tomb or a prison that alienated man from life and left him a cipher, like the appropriate named Mr. Zero in Elmer Rice's play The Adding Machine. A similar attack was made upon self-discipline. See, we're looking at, well, what are the solutions? What are the solutions? We need to go and look in the mirror. It's this programming. We're going to have to break the programming. Every single day we live out a self-talk cycle that someone else has given us the words for. Someone else has programmed us with. Off the television, your teachers, your pastors, your preachers, everybody. I heard a line one time ago, I think it was Zig Ziglar. You're born and you bring it into the world, and your pastors, your preachers, your teachers, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters. It's like you've got a computer punch card, and everybody's punching your card and punching your card and punching your card and punching your card. Finally, you're 18 years old. You're ready to get out on your own. They hand you back the punch card, and it's this bent up, mangled, hole-filled thing. Looks like Swiss cheese. You don't know what to do with it, and it won't work in a computer. So you'll have to start out all over again. But continued again. Similar attack was made on self-discipline. The philosophic basis for this attack was founded in an oversimplified Freudianism that regarded all suppression of human impulse as leading to frustration and psychic disruptions that made subsequent life unattainable. This Freudianism, woman across the street has three unruly children. There never seems to be a word of scolding. They don't seem to have any kind of control over them, whatever. They dump out into the yard early in the morning, and they scream like banshees and run like hellions all day long. All day long. And what is this? All right, this regard that the suppression of human impulse as leading to frustration and psychic distortions makes subsequent life unattainable. In other words, if you scold the child or teach him the way to go, that you're going to ruin the child. And it's a wrong-headed way of going, right? What does the Bible teach? You raise a child in the way they should go. Anyway, thus novel after novel or play after play portrayed the wickedness of suppression of good, healthy, natural impulse, and the salutary consequences of self-indulgence, especially in sex. Right, this is the beginning of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It really goes back earlier than that. You could begin with the flappers in that time period, the roaring 20s. Adultery and other manifestations of undisciplined sexuality were described in increasingly clinical detail and were generally associated with excessive drinking or other evasions of personal responsibility, as in Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms, The Sun Also Rises, or in John Steinbeck's Love Affair with Personal Irresponsibility in Cannery Row or Tortilla Flat. Popular books read by lots of people. The total rejection of middle-class values, including time, self-discipline, and material achievement in favor of a cult of personal violence, was to be found in a multitude of literary works, from James Cain and Raymond Chandler to the more recent antics of James Bond. The result was a total reversal of middle-class values by presenting as interesting or admirable simple negation of these values by aimless, shiftless, and totally irresponsible people. What's wrong with America? We've been indoctrinated. We don't know who we are. And so we're ripe for overthrow. Ripe for it. And like August Comte, long in advance of Carol Quigley, back to his Evolution of Civilizations, he too came up with this idea of the law of stages. And what Quigley came up with was a little different from the law of three stages that August Comte put together. And August Comte, again, is the founder of sociology. He coined the term, titled it the Queen of Sciences, felt that it trumped all the rest of the sciences. The study of man would eventually, in the new global order, be the tool of choice. That the captains of finance and industry would appoint their dictators, and that the dictators would be supported in all that they do by a cadre of super social scientists. And in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited, there's a page that I've referred to several times on air where Huxley ask who's going to be the custodian over the custodians. It's in Latin. I don't know how to say it properly. But after 20,000 hours or 2,000 hours of sociology, you become an expert of man. You're then suitable to be the custodian of man. But the question remains, who's going to be the custodian of the custodians as this plan unfolds? We'll be right back.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the oraclebroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, at website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so August Comte visualized the law of three stages for man's development on the planet Earth in this way, that we begin in this theological stage where man is ruled over by his priests and his priest kings. And he transitions from that theological tyranny into a system of metaphysical awareness. This could be like the age of reason. And he exists in that age of reason for some period of time in this metaphysical existential gestalt realm. And then another transition occurs, and he moves in away from the metaphysical stage into the positive stage of human development, which he felt was the ultimate, the triumph, the end game of man. And it very well may be the end of man, if we're following August Comte's model. But Carol Quigley, again, in The Evolution of Civilizations, an Introduction to Historical Analysis, posited these seven stages as the cycle of man. Number one is mixture. Number two is gestation. Number three is expansion. Number four, the age of conflict. Number five, universal empire. Number six, decay. And number seven, invasion. Rise and fall of civilizations, following seven stages. And so he has a very interesting outlook in that as well. We'll cover it again in another broadcast, perhaps. But back to Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, this off page 1252. He says, a similar reversal of values has flooded the market with novels filled with pointless clinical descriptions presented in obscene language and in fictional form of swamps of perversion ranging from homosexuality, incest, sadism, masochism, to cannibalism, necrophilia, and coprophagia. I don't even know what that is. But doesn't that sound like what you're getting dished out on television these days? The Lady Gaga the other day, what was that, necrophilia? Was it cannibalism? What was she up to? Homosexuality, incest, sadism, masochism, cannibalism, necrophilia. All the obscene language and stuff like that, you're flooded with it. And obviously you're going to pick it up in your psyche and you're going to start to reflect it outwardly. Unless you just simply shut it off and refuse to go there with them. These performances, as the critic Edmund Fuller said, and again this was written quite a while back now, Carol Quigley, represent not so much a loss of values as a loss of any conception of the nature of man. Instead of seeing the man the way the tradition of the Greeks and of the West regarded him as a creature midway between animal and God, a little lower than the angels, quote-unquote, and thus capable of an infinite variety of experience, these 20th century writers have completed the revolt of experience. These 20th century writers, wow, and thus, I'm going to say that again, and thus capable of an infinite variety of experience. This is who we really are. We're capable of an infinite variety of experience. And unfortunately, through the controlled education system and the controlled media and the controlled elections and so on and so forth, we're led into these little boxes. We're led into this small and mindless, trivial world view. We have the capacity for infinite variety. You look out, all men are created equal. You're going to have to condition that phrase to get me on board with that. You're going to have to condition the phrase because I think there's an infinite variety of man. I think all men are created unique, individual creations. Thus capable of an infinite variety of experience, these 20th century writers have completed the revolt against the middle classes by moving downward from the late 19th against century's view of man as simply a higher animal. This is man and other animals. You'll see those phrases oft times, man and other animals, especially when you're looking at, you know, the evolutionist theories, Darwinian concepts. A view of man as simply a higher animal to their own view of man as lower than any animal would naturally descend. Man as lower than any animal would naturally descend. Lady Gaga and other things of that ilk. From this has emerged a Puritan view of man, but without the Puritan view of God. As a creature of total depravity, in a deterministic universe, determinism, behaviorism, and all that, John Dewey, without hope of any redemption. We talked about that a little bit last night. You might visit with the archive basket and go and listen to the discussion between Michael and myself on Vantage Point last night. Went into a little bit of this. But our worldview is painted for us for people we don't know. And we don't know why they're doing it. But Quigley's giving us some clues here, building in us, of us, out of us, a creature of total depravity in a deterministic universe without hope of any redemption. This point of view, which in the period from 1550 to 1650 justified despotism in a Puritan context, now may be used with petty bourgeois support, in other words, the lower classes there, with petty bourgeois support to justify a new despotism to preserve by force instead of conviction petty bourgeois values in a system of compulsory conformity. Community policing. tattletale squads, etc. You know, knowing what I know, it's really hard to come against the city because I'm dealing with, you know, perhaps harassment or some kind of a conspiracy here locally. I need to overcome this burden, trying to impose on my property, and I dislike that. George Orwell's 1984 has given us the picture of this system as Hitler's Germany showed us its practical operation. Now, Quigley knows better, but he's taken the Kool-Aid, and he's put it out in his book for public consumption. But in view of the present upsurge of non-bourgeois social groups and social pressures, this possibility becomes decreasingly likely, and Barry Goldwater's defeat in the presidential election of 1964 moved the possibility so far into the future that the steady change in social conditions makes it remote indeed. We don't have a chance. No reason to go to the polls. Only 15 days away. No reason to vote. Your vote doesn't count anyway, right? Four companies count all the votes. They run all the media, too. It's all over. Nothing you can do. Time to give up. The destruction of the middle class by the destruction of the middle class outlook. Isn't that important? You destroy out of the mind of man, you destroy their identity, and then they just fall to pieces. That's why it's so very important to protect who we are and whose we are and know the difference. And the most significant of these influences have been operating within the middle class family. One of the most obvious of these has been the growing affluence of American society, which removed the pressure of want from the childbearing process. You make life so easy that life is no longer short, brutish, and hard. And you're no longer faced with lots of infant mortality. People start taking a relaxed view about childbearing. Again, it says it removed the pressure of want from the childbearing process. It was no longer necessary to have 5, 6, 8, 10, as the Rothschilds did, 10 children, 5 boys and 5 girls to become the banking magnates of the world, and their daughters marrying into important families, further solidifying their control over the financial system and politics. It's no longer necessary to have 10 sons and, you know, daughters. A small family will do 1, maybe 2. 2.5 children and a dog? Why not? The child who grows up in affluence is more difficult to instill with the frustrations and drives that were so basic in the middle class outlook. And so now here we are, living in the world with generations of young people, baby boomers and earlier, who have lived their entire life in a semi-lap of luxury. And so you get a president, if you want to call him that, the usurper, who his peers consider basically to be a lazy lout. Right? For generations, even fairly rich families, this indoctrination had continued because of continued emphasis on thrift and restraints on consumption, saving for the future, putting something aby, mind your pennies, the dollars take care of themselves. Okay? We've heard all of these cliches. So it's a rather interesting matrix, a place that we find ourselves in. Continuing, by 1937, the World Depression showed that the basic economic problems were not saving and investment, but distribution and consumption. Today in our article, we read that the farmers, the Wall Street bankster gangsters, are anticipating that the farmers will buy brand new John Deere tractors. They have a little bit of a profit from their corn and their wheat, and they'll rush right out and become consumers and buy new John Deere tractors and combines. And that every house will have a new Cadillac this winter for Christmas. Well, that's it for today. Hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, Here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.